Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Drop a beat. A beat.
There's a new phrase for one team that's left in the NFL.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
There's one team in these playoffs that's never won a Super Bowl, never been to a Super Bowl. And the phrase for them, two words, why not? Just because of the Detroit Lions?
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Prime Video TNF analyst Andrew Whitworth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yep, Andrew Whitworth's going to join us in hour number three. Albert Breer in 20 minutes time. And there is breaking news out of here in Los Angeles through my colleague Mike Garofalo at the NFL Network. That's how we come on the air in hour number two. It appears, according to Mike, that the Los Angeles Chargers are within, as he refers, what is it, striking distance?
Striking distance.
Striking distance, which means it's close to hire my coach, Jim Harbaugh, and put him on the sideline of the Los Angeles Chargers and say, you, sir, are in charge. And you're in charge of taking Justin Herbert and going ahead and nailing this thing down.
Harbaugh is in L.A. today, right now.
And this is what happened yesterday with Brian Callahan in Tennessee. They had him in for a second in person, and they struck the deal. And they're like, you're not leaving. You're staying here. And this is it. I would imagine if he leaves the building and there's no deal.
That's it.
And maybe he's also sensing Atlanta is going in a different direction. Or this is all a leverage play to stay put at Michigan. Which isn't pie in the sky. Every single person that I talk to or text about this is like, your guess is as good as mine. Your guess is as good as mine. And the Chargers, I believe, Chris, look it up. Look it up, sir. Play the Baltimore Ravens next year. So we would get a Harbaugh right off the bat in 2024. Potentially against a Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens team.
Ooh, do defending. I smell opening night next year if the Ravens win the Super Bowl?
Well, it would be in Los Angeles.
Okay, never mind.
Game will be here. So but by the way,
we almost had it. Yeah, it is out here in LA. Yeah.
Okay, well, bummer. Guess what?
All right.
Sunday night game.
That would be for the whole country to soak in.
Thursday.
Sunday night week two.
Well, listen, it hasn't happened yet. Let's not go there. I don't want to go all Winston Wolf on you here, but let's not go there yet. So we're waiting to hear. And all of us in Maize and Blue Country are on pins and needles because if he's not coming back, that means we got to get going on our own reset.
You already got your coach. He's right there. He won three games for
you. No, I know.
He cried on the sideline.
I'm not saying, like, go. Like, I would hire him instantly and then go to work.
Yeah.
Go to work.
He coached.
And then all the Ohio State honks that I know and hit me on my timeline that are talking about how all their players are returning and how talented they are and how good they are and how they're keeping their guys. They're collective, apparently. Cardale Jones is part of their collective, running their collective. And I saw on the old Instagram machine today, which means it's got to be true, that C.J. Stroud made a major contribution to that collective.
Nice.
And I'm hearing it's been the amount of money that was doled out in, I guess, NIL deals, what have you, reached eight figures combined for them to keep this team intact. What I say back to all of them is good luck. And if Ohio State breaks the three-game losing streak against Michigan next November, under the new constructs, that might not eliminate us from the playoffs. So the world is different. The world is changing. And at least Michigan won the last do-or-die, win-or-go-home elimination game, maybe in the history of the series, until they maybe face each other in a college football playoff game, which is entirely possible when you've got 12 in there.
Definitely going to happen.
So at least Michigan won the last one where it's kind of an elimination game. And then I correct myself and say, sorry, we won the last three. Oh, gosh, I hurt myself.
Be careful, really.
Yeah, I know. I hurt myself. So that's the latest, huh?
That's the latest.
Well, we'll get Breer on here. He's one of those Ohio State guys that I speak to quite a bit. He's joining us in about 10 minutes' time. It's a Tuesday, which means two things. It's not Monday or Wednesday. It's right in between. Tuesday. And Overreaction Monday podcast, Chris and I did it, staying after class yesterday, lots of stuff, but that's not the only things that Chris wants me to overreact to. It's time for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
There we go. There we go. I didn't step over that line this time.
Nice.
Sometimes jump the gun.
What's up, guys?
What do you have over there, Chris?
Everybody good?
What do you got over there?
I'm also been impressed with the Lions, Rich. You know what? So much so, the Lions, two wins this playoffs have been more impressive than the one 49ers victory.
Let me see this. The two Lions wins have been more impressive than the one. Yeah. So what? I don't know. What are you getting at here? Normally, I can pick up what you're putting down. Yeah. I mean, the two Lions wins were, I understand the Niners beat a tough opponent, but...
They had to make a comeback. You're all in on the Niners. You love Brock Purdy like a son.
No, I got it. The Lions wins for a franchise that's never done it before and has got all the pressure of like, well, if it's not going to be now, when's it going to be? And the 49ers, I know, came up with a gritty win, but did it leave me impressed? Not at all. Left me thinking they were kind of lucky to get through all that.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think that's wrong.
Win in the rain when
no, I know. And they checked, as I said yesterday, they checked a ton of boxes. They're not supposed to win when Debo goes out. They're not supposed to win in the rain. They're not supposed to win a game where they had terrible clock management at the end of the first half where they played themselves into a long field goal in the rain that got blocked. They're not supposed to win a game that they're down by 7 points going into the fourth quarter. And they did. They're not supposed to win a game where they have to depend on Brock Purdy to make the throws in the fourth quarter. And they did. So that was impressive that they overcame all those things. But the bottom line is there was a lot to overcome. So.
All right. Out of the gate a little slow then. All right. Let me pick this up a little bit.
What do you got?
Mark Davis caved to player pressure in hiring Antonio Pierce as head coach.
That's one way to put it. And I'm seeing a couple of tweets saying, I wonder who Max Crosby is going to choose as the general manager. I understand that. But I think he was wise to listen to his players. And a lot of the positive energy is founded. And also, this decision may have been informed, well, the last time I had an interim coach that the players loved, I went with supposedly a known commodity. And that blew up in my face. So instead of me thinking, well, let me go with somebody from a famous coaching tree and let me go and get somebody from a winning organization outside of our space, let's go with the guy who proved he can do it and proved that the players are buying what he's selling and go with the guy that I already have. Love the one you're with. So
many great guys out there, though.
And I understand that the lyrics of that song is when you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. Love I understand that I used a quote from a lyric that makes it seem like this is a second choice. I know. But I'm just saying, you know what? I'm just removing the tag from the one you love.
Dance with and the placing one who it on brought the, you.
That's another way to put that's a better lyric,
yeah,
maybe.
Maybe
well, I mean, I don't think that's a lyric. That's just using the
phrase
that involves dancing.
Right.
All right.
With people.
But I heard you agree, right? That may have been informed by what happened with Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah, I said that when they let him go, it seemed like those guys loved playing for Bisaccia.
They did.
And it showed, and you feel the same thing. Look what Pierce did with this team. And they're smoking cigars in the locker room. They're having fun. And I think we got to take that in consideration.
Well, like, it's not just having fun. Then they played hard.
They played hard and they were winning football.
Correct.
Exactly.
And having
You're
fun
right.
with yeah. doing the
fun
things.
With no results doesn't matter, obviously.
How are you going to bounce the guy that went into Arrowhead and came up with a win? Against a team that might eventually win it all. So, what else you got, Chris?
When they're 1-5, I want to play this clip back. Great. When I have the overreaction of they should
very
have never hired
glass,
Antonio
half
Pierce.
Empty.
Well, I mean,
very
that's,
negative.
Just throwing that out there.
What else?
All right, we just talked about the referee matchups.
By the way, you know, they hear us in Las Vegas on Raider Nation Radio.
Yeah, we know.
And you know where we're going in 2 weeks,
Shout
right?
Shout out Raider Nation.
Okay, thank you.
Shout out Raider Nation.
Uh-huh. Way to go, Chris.
I love the Raiders. We just talked about the referees, and TJ's had the script all season. So why does it feel like we're getting a Super Bowl 54 rematch, Chiefs 49ers?
I don't believe you're wrong. It feels like it. I said it. That was my prediction. You know what? It would be only fitting to get this matchup with all due respect to Lions and Ravens fans, because this is who I predicted would be in the Super Bowl prior to the season beginning, and then I jumped off it. Do you know who refereed that game? Bill Vinovich.
Oh, hey now.
Same guy. Oh, hey now. So I don't know. What's the script say? Oh, they announced the ref. Oh, is yeah. the fix in?
Oh, yeah.
Or is the color scheme the fix?
Oh, no.
What's the fix? Let's go looking for a fix.
He's
got a script.
And we're in Vegas.
Oh, my God.
Lamar breaks
this whole
free
thing.
Around the 20.
Leave us hanging. Leave us hanging, TJ. Leave us hanging. Come on now.
I have to take this home with me.
Yeah, well, I think the script stunk from the fifth snap of the season on for the Jets.
I understand.
I told you to throw that thing out, and then that script flipped on you against the Green Bay Packers.
That's why I couldn't get upset, because I
not
knew.
Great.
I read the script.
That script says another wide right for Buffalo fans. They think that script stinks too. It's going
to
be funny. 31 teams are going to think that fan base is going to think that script really stinks.
Hey, it is what it is.
Throw it out.
I didn't write it.
All right, what else, Chris?
I'm glad Dan Orlovsky is not on the horn anymore, because with AFC QB injuries and the Chiefs are having a down year, this was the Bills' best chance to win the AFC. Their window is closed.
That's ridiculous. Window's closed. Ooh, get out of here. 17's on the screen. As long as he's healthy and breathing and playing like Josh Allen, the window is wide open. Wide open. This was the year, right? It was
this
supposed
was
to be
the year. Joe Burrow hurt. Aaron Rodgers hurt.
I got it, man. I got it.
If Justin Herbert, terrible coaching.
If you had
coaching.
Told Bills fans prior to the jump, okay, Herbert would get hurt, Burrow would get hurt, and that, you know, Rodgers would get hurt, and that the Steelers would still have problems at their quarterback spot, and that Deshaun Watson would get hurt,
and that
Tua would play the entire season, and that might give them a little bit of pause, like, what does that mean for our divisional hopes? But we still got Allen, whatever. Oh, and by the way, you'll be the 2 seed, and you'll have the Chiefs in your house for the divisional playoff game. You'll be like, where's a piece of paper?
Let me sign
it right now, you know? And the pen might take the form of a certain toy. You know, it would be really weird.
It was their best shot.
But it was their best shot. But that doesn't mean it's their only shot. The window is wide open.
Oh, it's not. Come on, Rich. It's not wide. It's not wide open.
Open.
It is not wide open.
It is.
Be honest.
I'm being deadly honest.
It's not wide open.
Pal.
They are in cap hell next year.
So what? You know who's in cap hell?
Who's their best wide receiver?
Do you know who's in cap
it's
hell?
The tight end.
The Rams and the Bucks were in cap hell. They both made the playoffs. One of them actually had an opportunity to force overtime to go to the NFC Championship game.
Home.
I know
they're home.
I get it. But the window is open. And anybody who knows this should be you. If you have a quarterback, the window's open. If you don't have a quarterback, the window is closed. And
guess
this guy.
Josh Allen's not. Tom Brady. Like, come on. Let's be honest.
I will call that an overreaction. What else?
All right, here's some love for Baltimore here. No matter what happens on Sunday, Lamar Jackson is the best player in the NFL.
You could make that argument. I don't think that's an overreaction. You could absolutely make the case that he's the best player in the NFL, but what does that make Mahomes? Don't you think the rings have anything to do with it? Or I mean, that would be part of the argument in the pushback. you could absolutely make a case that he's the best player in the NFL.
He's going to be the MVP.
He's going to be the most valuable player. I know that.
But MVP is a quarterback award.
But you say no matter what happens Sunday,
about all,
you
all
started your
1,500 players.
You started your subject matter of overreaction Monday with five words. Let me see if I can put on top so it looks like it's like I'm no matter what happens Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, so no matter what happens Sunday is like, so he loses to Mahomes, who is proven year in and year out that doesn't matter, I guess, who he's throwing passes to. Tyreek Hill's gone, and then he wins a Super Bowl, and then he wins maybe two. And then it doesn't matter if they drop passes, if Kadarius Scissorhands is there or his foot's, you know, like Kevin Durant on a three-point line, you know, and then suddenly he still overcomes all that. That doesn't make him the best player. I mean, again, there's an argument for it, but I don't think there's no – You can make a great argument here for Lamar Jackson anyway, so I won't call that an overreaction. I'll call it an argument. So
making an argument.
What else?
All right, last one.
Aha!
Last one. Another Eagles coordinator has gotten fired. Jeff Ugori's firing the wrong people, making a mistake, keeping Nick Sirianni.
I don't know, man. It's just, we'll find out. How does that sound? I honestly can't sit, like the, I could sit here and say this is not an overreaction, that if you went ahead and needed to fill in two spots of two guys that showed in their first year as head coaches elsewhere that they're really that talented and thus difficult to replace, and Sirianni had everything else working for 11 games and then it kind of fell apart and he couldn't fix it, and that's the reason to fire him, then that's not an overreaction. If you're sitting here saying, well, they're really tough to fill in, we just made the wrong mistakes collectively as a group, and Nick definitely held things together, and we know what was going on in the locker room, and it never got out because Nick had a lid on it, and he's still the guy that can make these decisions, and the players believe in him, and you heard what Fletcher Cox had to say to anybody that walked up to his locker. That's a cue from Mike Del Tufo to stop doing what he's doing and then playing some. Oh, so you did hear me. Did you hear me? Okay. No, you didn't hear me. It's the Fletcher Cox drop.
Mike. Yes.
Okay, that's the Fletcher Cox drop.
You're a clown,
man. So you hear that from the locker room and you hear from Kelsey saying we love the guy. So it can go either way. It can go either way.
I'm asking you to choose.
I know you're asking me to choose. I'll call that an overreaction at the moment. The guy went to the Super Bowl last year. He's got to be a coach for a reason. And his vets love him. So, but he's got pretty much one more year, and they better get these hires right.
Eagles start 1-5. Let's play this clip back.
Oh, I got it. I understand.
I got it.
Mets overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show because Mike's got to continue depositing that check, whatever he's doing over there.
I didn't have my phone.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Jeez, Mike,
all right.
Fantastic.
Albert Breer is going to join us next.
Yeah.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Karen, what you got?
Hi, guys. Karen Applem from Australia with a quick question for season 3 Talisman. That knife wound healing scene was so powerful. Tom, what was it like to do that scene with John as your director?
It's great that I was with those people because when your eyes are closed and someone is supposed to going to stab you in the chest, you have to really trust that they're not going to hurt you. So yeah. I was in good hands with John.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right. Another thing that we should discuss later on in the last hour plus, have there been any more relatives of Dallas Cowboys heading to social media to say that their brother or son or whatever should get the hell out?
Be on a different team.
Is that a no?
Been quite, kind of quiet.
It's been kind of quiet. Okay.
But it's only 10:20 here on the West Coast.
That's so. True. It's okay. Early on.
Yeah. All right. So. We've got that story later on, right? Is it a story?
It's something. It's interesting.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you had a rough stretch or you're at the end of a contract and your brother just started mass tweeting that you need to get out
and
be on another network or
something.
You know,
that would be
That would make some news, I think, among people like in our business.
If you cut Brockman off one time and then Miss Mary got on Twitter and was talking, Rich Eisen won't let my son live, someone will probably be like,
Your mom is on Twitter.
She is. I actually don't know the last time she tweeted, to be honest.
I would have to explain to my mom what Twitter is. And then they called it X. I think that might, I don't know if that would be the most confusing aspect to my mom.
Well, my mom was pretty active on January 11th.
What was she doing?
She was retweeting.
About us, saying that you should get out?
She retweeted one of our videos.
You know?
And then if something I don't, about if, the if I
don't,
check.
If I don't let your, if Rich won't let my son, what's your biggest beef here?
Oh, my biggest beef?
Yeah.
Oh, like what would Mary pizza, know? You brought pizza yesterday, so.
Okay.
For that's the, not a beef.
Okay.
When?
I don't know. Oh, you went home.
You went home.
That's right. My man brought
why did you go home before we shot our why'd you go home before our shoot for our Super Bowl open?
Because we had like 3 hours between the time the show was over.
It wasn't three.
You're doing a Del Tufo. You're
wasn't
over,
three.
You're,
well, before his call time.
Before my call time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, you went home.
I went home and had lunch.
Oh, we ate pizza. It was great.
Oh, that's messed up.
No, it's not messed up.
It was delicious.
Snooze, you lose.
Well, I've never known you to buy lunch for us before, so I didn't know.
That's because I never saw your mom tweeted me about it, complaining. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network.
She'd be like, she feeds everyone. He feeds
sitting
everyone
at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right. Friend, colleague, and also from the MMQB himself, Albert Breer, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Albert.
Hey, what's up, Rich? So how we doing? Anybody land in Los Angeles that you know of recently?
Here we go. I was about to say, of all the coaching hires that you want to break, right? It's got to be Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan to go somewhere.
That'd be a fun one.
So, but as you and I are conversing, in the middle of the afternoon on this Tuesday after divisional playoffs, it does appear that Harbaugh's here talking to the Chargers, and that there's a lot of there. There's smoke and there's a fire, and he's there. They might not let him out of the building, Albert.
Yeah, so I think I think that there's two tracks that the Chargers search is working on. Mm-hmm. Like the one track is the Harbaugh track. The other track, I think, is the contingency track. So they've continued to go through interviews with other people and continue the process. The calendar has changed a little. And so the way the NFL calendar works now, you can't bring in people in person until this week. So like if you can't just go through like a week of courting with one candidate and then reset after, or you put yourself way behind. So that's still going on over to your right. Over to your left, you have the Harbaugh piece of this, which to me, like, I don't think it's about money anymore. Like, because I know that there was a lot of talk about that. I'm not sure it's about money. I think this is about structure. This is about resources. This is about what you're going to put around me and what it's going to look like. And so, like, to me, the questions are things like, are you willing to pay Jesse Minter $3 or $4 million a year to come with me?
As defensive coordinator.
As defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. what does my front office look like, right? And we've seen they've interviewed no less, and it might be more, but no less than four candidates that he's got connections to. Two guys who have Baltimore roots and Joe Ortiz and Ian Cunningham. Brandon Brown, the Giants assistant general manager, who he's got a relationship with. And Ed Dodds, the Colts assistant general manager, who he goes back all the way to Oakland with. So he's known for 20 years. So it looks like they're willing to hire a general manager to match with him. And then, and I think this is a key part, how does ownership involve itself in football? You and I both know the Spanos family is very involved. It's a family business, right? Mm-hmm. And John Spanos, Dean's son, has overseen the football operations side. Jim Harbaugh had problems with ownership in San Francisco. And so I certainly could see where for Jim, a big part would be like, how do I head that off now? How do I make sure that's not a problem now? And it's coming to a comfort level with how ownership is going to be involved on the football side. So I think all that stuff is what determines whether this gets pushed over the goal line or not. Like, and I think a lot of people were looking at money and stuff like that. And like, I think that was always going to take care of itself, because I do think like the Spanoses are, and the Chargers in general are sensitive to the idea they won't spend or that they're irrelevant in LA. And I think, you know, getting Harbaugh addresses all of that.
Oh, yeah.
I think now it's sort of about like what you're putting around Jim and whether or not the setup is comfortable for him, which It sounds to me like they're willing to do what it takes to get this done.
Yeah, why not? I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Especially since, you know, this last several years was filled with Brandon Staley. We're going to stick with him, even though Sean Payton's sitting right here in Southern California on the Fox set. We're going to stick with him just after he blew a 27-7 lead in the playoffs. And then this year plays out to the point where they feel no choice but to fire him midseason. And mm-hmm. then Jim Harbaugh's sitting out there. And then what? He would go back to Michigan or wind up in Atlanta or somewhere else because it comes out the Chargers wouldn't give him whatever he felt comfortable,
right,
that he needed to feel comfortable. I mean, what that you can't have that.
Yeah,
right?
From a business standpoint, it'd be horrible, wouldn't it? I mean, you're
sounds
out there.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
I mean, as far as like being relevant in Los Angeles, the chance that Harbaugh gives you to be that and then to get the rug pulled from underneath you and you're not getting him, like, now what do you have? Like, now what do you do? Do you go spend $25 million to go get Belichick to make up for it? You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like the cost of losing that now, with so many people assuming it's going to happen, could be heavier, you know? So I personally think this has nothing to do with my allegiances.
No.
But I personally think, like, this is set up. I think I used the Parcells comparison with you a couple weeks ago, right? Like, where it's like, I think he's the modern day Parcells as an NFL coach. The Chargers are ready to win now. Like, that roster, like, they're not going to be like Joey Bosa and Derwin James and Keenan Allen. Like, those guys aren't going to be around forever. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe some of them won't be there next year. So, like, I do think that there's an urgency with the group of players you have right now. There's, you know, a need for some juice, you know, in the market from a business standpoint. And, you know, and you've got a quarterback there who can attract a guy like a Jim Harbaugh, you know, so it just all lines up. And then on top of that, like, geographically, he loves California. He went to high school in Palo Alto. He played for the Chargers. You know, he coached for the Raiders at the start of his career. He coached at the University of San Diego. He coached at Stanford. He has a lot of ties to California. And so the geography to me is like almost a cherry on top. A lot of things line up here.
Yeah. He also retired Nick Saban here first of the year.
That's right. Yeah.
Just pointing that out.
That's a notch on the way,
on the way to winning the national championship. Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what is the latest with Belichick? What do you got for me on that one?
I think it's similar. Like, I think it's like a lot of it would come down to structure with the Falcons, you know, and whether or not they're willing to set things up a certain way. I think Rich McKay is a key figure here. Bill has been very critical of the competition committee over the years, both publicly and privately, and has had a real you-know-what across his you-know-what about the competition committee. So, and Rich McKay has been one of these guys who, like, has been involved in football, but as guys have gotten fired from there, has survived over and over and over again. And so, like, how do Bill Belichick and Rich McKay match up? Because Rich McKay is one of the most trusted advisors to Arthur Blank. So there's that, right? Then there's Terry Fontenot, the personnel department. How does that match up? How does that work? Can Bill bring all of his infrastructure? How much power is Bill going to have in personnel, right? Like, is he going to be the guy with his finger on the trigger? And is Arthur Blank going to be comfortable with that after, you know, what the Patriots roster looks like now? Again, like, I know I sound like a broken record saying a lot of the same things I was saying about, you know, the Chargers with the Falcons, but I think it's the truth. You know, I don't think this is about money. I think this is about structure. I think this is about, like, it being set up a certain way. And, you know, I do think, like, you know, Bill has in his head who he's going to bring with him if he goes, you know, so that means, like, you know, you're probably, you know, are you hiring Josh McDaniels with you? Are you hiring Joe Judge with you? Are you hiring Matt Patricia with you? Like, a lot of, like, guys, like, I think are lined up and waiting for him, you know? And so, again, like, I think more than just money, there are a lot of things that match up for the Falcons. Geography the same way with Harbaugh, the roster same way with Harbaugh. There are a lot of things that match up that are attractive to Bill here. I think, you know, based on the way he's operated for the last 24 years in New England, there are also some requirements as far as the way he'd want it to be set up for him to take the plunge and do it again.
Well, I mean, then there's a matter of with Harbaugh going to the Chargers, he's got Justin Herbert sitting there. Who's going to be the quarterback in Atlanta, right?
I know, and that's the question, right? Like, but hey, if you have Belichick, that probably attract some people, right? Like, now, not everybody, but...
But who? Like, it's not like the free agent market would be what? It would be Kirk Cousins, Jimmy G?
Give you a fun one? Or Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins would make a lot of sense. Like, I think Kirk Cousins is the most sensible one. Like, and Russell Wilson, just because Bill has collected players who are maybe a little over the hill, who used to be superstars. Bill collects those guys like action figures. Go back over the years, right? Like, think about
the
it
Corey Dillon
years.
Action figure, the Randy right, Moss like action
the
figure.
Chad Ochocinco, Joey Galloway, oh. Tim Tebow. Some of them work out, some of them don't.
Okay.
Right. But isn't it true?
No, I understand that. But Bill is also, you know, he's got a window just like Arthur Blank in terms of needing to win right now.
Here's a fun name. Baker Mayfield.
Oh, man. That's not a bad one.
He liked him in 18.
Okay.
I couldn't go up and get him. They weren't I mean, they had just been in the Super Bowl, and Baker Mayfield went first overall. So it wasn't realistic. But Bill Belichick put Josh McDaniels on a plane the week of the draft to go work out Baker Mayfield in Norman, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's one that, like, I mean, that's what's fascinating, too, about it, too. The franchise tag costs like $35 million at that position. Does Tampa, if the Falcons land Belichick, does Tampa have to franchise Baker to keep him away from Atlanta?
Well, and there's Justin Fields too. If the Bears go ahead and draft Caleb Williams, fascinating next couple months are really unfolding right now. Where does Vrabel wind up, Albert?
Yeah. I feel like Vrabel is sort of. I think Vrabel. I think he might wind up being the best guy in the market just because of age, right? Now, he doesn't have the accomplishments that Bill and Jim have, but just because of age, like, he's still in his 40s. Like, I think he might actually be the best prospect, if you want to call him that, of the guys in the market. I would say right now it feels almost like he's running second a bunch of places. Like, I think Seattle could hire him. Like, I think Seattle, I think John Schneider would really look at that, maybe over Dan Quinn. But, you know, like, Dan Quinn's the presumed leader in the clubhouse there. I think the Chargers would look at hiring him if Jim Harbaugh were to leave them at the altar. I think the Falcons would look at him very seriously if the Bill Belichick thing doesn't work out. So it does feel like he's running second a bunch of these places. You know where I think he might have landed if things had played out differently is Philly. Like, I think that would have been a possibility. So, like, it's not that he's not a strong candidate in a lot of these places. He is. It's just that, like, a lot of these places where maybe he fits best, the focus has been on somebody else. I'm going to be interested, too, I would watch Washington with him because he was together with Adam Peters. Now, Adam Peters was a low-level scout, and Vrabel was a player. But they were together for 6 years in New England. And Peters said, and I believe the Commanders really like Ben Johnson, 100%. But Peters said something really interesting during his press conference when he was introduced to the general manager there, which was, I'm not looking offense or defense. I'm looking for a leader.
Mm-hmm. So
doesn't that scream Mike Vrabel to you?
Well, of course it does. I mean, so what's your reporting on what happened in Philadelphia last Friday when Sirianni and Jeffrey Lurie met and they're, you know, going to put Sirianni and Howie Roseman out in front of the media on Wednesday. What a fascinating back and forth that should be in Philadelphia. What's your reporting there, Albert?
I think it's like similar to the way Jeffrey Lurie handled it 3 years ago. Okay, now when they went through that 3 years ago, if you remember, I believe it was 8 days after the last game of the season that they fired Doug Peterson, and a big part of that was Jeffrey Lurie waited to meet with Peterson and let Peterson and Howie get their ducks in a row and come up with a plan to dig them out of what was a really bad season for them in the COVID year, right? Like, they finished behind Washington that year. I think Washington went 6-9-1 and won the division, something crazy like that, whatever it was. And so in the end, like, the plan wasn't satisfactory. And it wasn't satisfactory in part because, you know, Doug was really loyal to his assistants and he didn't want to clean out the staff. I think that that's sort of the template of what happened here, was that, you know, Jeffrey does wait sometimes to meet with his coaches after the season and gave them time to, you know, come up with something. Hey, here's what we see it looking like at the end of the year. Here's what we see it looking like going into 2024. Here's the plan. Here's who my coaches are going to be. Here's how the roster is going to be set up. And not like that, like he needs to win his job back or anything like that. But, you know, you got to put the owner in a position where he feels good about what the plan is going forward. And so I think that's sort of the way it played out. And now they're looking for two new coordinators. And it's such a weird thing too, Rich, because like I can remember like last year on the night of week 18, I was talking to Nick Sirianni on the phone, and he, you know, had a beer in his hand, and he was at Shane Steichen's house, and the entire staff was there, and they were celebrating winning the number one seed. And he said that he wanted to do this, Nick did, because his dad and his brothers were high school coaches, and they would come and hang out on Friday nights, you know, and he never got the chance to do that. And having the bye gave him the chance to do that. The reason I'm telling that story is because there was such a great vibe on that staff. A lot of the coaches were the same age. They had kids the same age. That was a year ago, right? That was a year ago that was the vibe in that building. That was the vibe on that staff. And now you lose the two coordinators who get opportunities to be head coaches in Steichen and Jonathan Gannon. And you did such a poor job replacing them that you got to blow the new guys out of town now too. One of whom was on the staff last year. It's crazy. And it'll be interesting to see how they come out of this, because it's almost like Nick is now going to be chasing something that they built the first 2 years that somehow they lost over the last year.
So before I let you go, Albert, give me your best guess on the post-mortem in Buffalo that's already begun. What do you think?
So this reminds me, I keep making these comps. Like, I hope you're not bored with
them. No, come on. We're fascinated. You had to say hello, Albert.
This feels to me like the Tony Dungy Buccaneers, doesn't it?
What do you mean?
A team that, like a coach comes in, does a great job, phenomenal job, building it up, and they just can't get over the hump. And they've been hitting this glass ceiling for years and years and years. It feels like the Tony Dungy Buccaneers a little bit to me.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. So who's the Gruden?
And, you know what the Bucs did was they.
Well, and so the follow up questions there are, who's the Gruden, and will the Pegulas go ahead and say sayonara to their coach, who's not, you know, in anybody's mind a Hall of Fame possible resume right now, despite his immense success in Buffalo. Albert,
yeah,
I don't think they're going to,
but it's something to think about, because does it feel like something needs to be shaken up a little there, whatever it is.
I mean, what else is there? They, you know, the defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator, yeah. You know,
that's the thing is, like, have you gotten to that point where it's like, this is the only thing left?
Well, I mean, the special teams coordinator, because Bass missed the field goal, and once upon a time there was a 12th man on the field. I mean, I'm being facetious, but it really, I don't know what else to say, because the one thing, we're not coming out of this game saying that one decision, that was ridiculous. Right. We're pointing at that moment they lost to the Chiefs, you know?
And then the flip side of it, Rich, is like that, like you go back 5 years, Connor Orr, who I work with at SI, like brought this up on our podcast a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Like, look at Harbaugh five years ago, like they were almost running him out of Baltimore, right? Mm-hmm. Like how dumb and if you go and you look at like the guys who got jobs that year, that offseason, like Freddie Kitchens, Cliff Kingsbury, Adam Gase, that's the market they would have been going into. So that's the flip side of it is, like, you know, you've got a guy you're comfortable with who's clearly good at the job. Like, do you want to go back into the wilderness?
Yeah, I know. But this wilderness has Belichick, Harbaugh, and Vrabel sitting in it, brother.
That's the thing. Yeah.
I mean, it's so a different wilderness. To say the least.
Yeah. And you have Josh Allen to offer up, right? Like, you have, like, hey, come coach Josh Allen.
With the OC in place. I mean, I think clearly Joe Brady and Allen. Allen's come out and said, I don't want to change the offensive coordinator. Yeah. And he also said, you know, hey, McDermott leaves the offense alone. So I don't know what the answer is there. I just, that would stun me, right?
Answer. I think they hang on to Sean. I think the roster part of it's more interesting, because I do believe like the window's open as long as Josh is there.
I agree.
But like with this particular group, it's not wide open anymore, because I mean, like the guys they've won with over the last 7 years and guys who come onto their roster over the last 7 years that are core pieces, Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Ed Oliver is younger.
What about Diggs?
The rest of these guys.
What about Diggs?
Diggs, Deion Dawkins. Like, a lot of these guys are over 30 now. Like, so there's like the big picture, like, do we run it back or do we start to retool a little bit? Question two, particularly in a year when, I mean, like, now this could be restructured. This could be restructured. So, you know, the number's malleable, but they're looking at like a Josh Allen's cap number tripling next year. So, like, there's just like, I think there are big picture decisions that need to be made as far as the roster goes. And then there's that question again, like, can you run it back or does this group need to be shaken up a little bit? You know, they've obviously done a great job building there, but, you know, like, this is, it feels like this offseason is a very real crossroads for them.
Okay. Albert, you're the man. Look for my call next week because obviously a lot of the questions we have will be answered by then. And yeah. I appreciate the time here, brother.
You got it.
That's the great Albert Breer right here on the Rich Eisen Show. At Albert Breer, must follow his information on point. Okay. Is this gym day? I just texted that to somebody who I think would know the answer.
Gym day.
I have not gotten a response yet.
Oh, no bubbles, no nothing?
No bubbles. I got no bubbles.
All right, no bubbles.
We're bubbleless. Okay. Bubblicious. I'll let you know when it's bubblicious. I was more of a bubble yum guy bubble back yum in the day.
Bubble yum.
You know, just to put not too fine a point on things. Is Vrabel going to be left without a seat?
I almost, this an overreaction. Kind of feels like Bill is going to be left without a seat.
Oh. Well, I mean, if Atlanta goes in a different direction, the answer is yes. I don't think anybody else has been interviewing him, right?
He has not taken any other.
Yeah,
interviews.
I don't think Carolina's interviewed him, and I haven't heard about Seattle interviewing him. And
so,
back in the day, those things could happen without us knowing. Now, everyone, they send out a tweet, they send out a photograph, they send out this, they make an announcement because everything's kind of public and
Atlanta
recorded.
Atlanta has scheduled follow-ups with both Lions coordinators, which can't take place until
next week.
So the the Falcons are drawing this out.
Maybe that's, is that Rich McKay's doing? You know?
Feels like Arthur should just...
I don't know.
Figure out what he wants and get it.
Or just ask for the advice of somebody who's related to a Dallas Cowboy. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here is the connection.
Yes, Bob.
Between me and J.B. Smoove. It involves the cult classic Pootie Tang. J.B. Smoove is in Pootie Tang.
Yes.
And it goes without saying that without me, Pootie Tang is nothing.
There's not. You put the Tang in Pootie Tang.
I did.
I bet.
I did, just like the astronauts.
Hey, what's going on?
J.B. J.B. Smoove.
And I'm back there.
You're a man.
No, I'm back there. He was trash talking me, man. I mean,
I wasn't trash talking you.
I look up to you, man.
I was talking you up.
No, I look up to you while I'm looking down at you.
Anyone who looks up to me is a person I admire.
Do you have any good from the set stories of Pootie Tang?
You know, we were never on the set together.
Always.
Yeah.
There's some great stories of Pootie Tang. Any man who can fight with a belt.
Right.
How do you not have great stories? It's the man who had a ponytail and a belt and had his own language. How do you not build a movie on that platform and have success? You know, it's a cult classic. People sit in their basement smoking the funny stuff while they watch it.
Yeah, and you don't even need the funny stuff.
No, you don't.
Although it helps.
It does help. It's a great movie.
To be reunited with J.B. Smoove.
My brother, we are back.
My man.
We are back.
By the way, Bob said Pootie Tang 5 times during that interview.
And that's 22 fewer times than Marshawn Lynch said he was there to be fined.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign your pity on a runny kind, brother. And if you want to try to stop me, I got to say the name.
What is happening right now?
First week we ever went to a Super Bowl. In 2 weeks, it'll be number 10 for us. Or is it 11? Got to figure that out.
10.
Number 10.
9 years ago.
9 years ago. How about them apples? All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so the Dallas Cowboys, as we all know, went down in, what's the word for it, flames.
Oh,
it's the truth. It's the truth.
Sorry, TJ.
It's the truth.
We have to pull up this Jalen Rose tweet.
Dude, we didn't lead with it. we haven't talked about it, you know, in days. Jalen's talking about everybody wants to talk about every single day and that it's corny. Listen, we don't usually pay attention to this sort of stuff, but when it's multiple, and also when the Cowboys went down against the Green Bay Packers, it just seemed like Dak and CeeDee Lamb were off, and at one point it seemed like it was a little bit of friction.
A little bit, first quarter at least.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Got that sense. So, a handful of, is it on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it? Was most of it, was it some on Instagram and stuff like that,
Facebook
too?
And
Facebook
X.
Yeah, and Facebook. X. All right. So, we're putting it up, leave it up for a while here, if you don't mind, on the Roku channel. Hey, radio audience and those listening later on a podcast. On the bottom right is Lita Ramirez. That is the mom of CeeDee Lamb,
yes.
Right? She tweeted out, Dak isn't it, in caps with 3 exclamation points.
Yo.
Somebody responded, tell the youngin' to come to the home team. CJ would love him, meaning Stroud. Mm-hmm.
CeeDee's from Houston, right?
Responds, I wish he would. CJ is great. All right. Top left, Terrence Parsons Jr. Is that the brother of Micah?
The brother of Micah Parsons, yes.
Somebody wrote, you are Jerry Jones. After this, where do you start? That's Michael Gelkin, right, who covers the NFL. He wrote back, he retweeted, fire everybody, and if Dak doesn't take $40 million, up next, Trey Lance.
Oh, wow.
Because, as you know, Dak is going to have to figure out a contract extension because he's costs $1 billion on the cap if he doesn't. And in order to do that, they're going to have to extend him. That's the only way. That's been the dicey part of the situation, but has been very quiet because Dak had an MVP season, which these posts from relatives of Dallas Cowboys of note don't really back that up. And then Tad Prescott has chimed in.
Mm-hmm.
Brother of Dak, Tad.
His older brother, yeah.
Okay. I guess which one was first? I'll go with
the
one at the top right.
Yeah.
Cowboys fans, why continue to DM me? Trust me, if I could get Dak to leave Dallas, I would. I, too, want him out of Dallas. The city and organization have been great to he and our family, but done with drama and the so-called fans, but he loves this team and wants to bring it rings. It's kind of all over the map of saying get him out. Blaming the fans, I guess. And then he wrote back, those who really follow or know me knows I've never spoken badly about the Cowboys as an organization or team. I've never spoken badly about a player on the team or the city of Dallas. It's the so-called fans I have an issue with. So, this is what's being placed in the lap of Mike McCarthy. Period. End of story.
Wow.
Because this is happening in that locker room. And, you know, mom feels a certain way because, you know, and obviously everybody that's out there, brothers, moms, we ascribe to their tweets and posts the player in question's actual feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to think that's got to be close to the truth because they may be saying something offline that's normally instead of it being seen online. But I'll tell you, man, who's gonna knock the heads together? Is it Jerry? And basically say, you know, dare me to trade you? Honestly, like, you want to leave? I'm going to pay. I mean, CeeDee Lamb's about to hit it. Dak's about to hit it. Micah's going to hit it. You know who's not leaving the Dallas Cowboys is Micah Parsons. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
And the Dak question is a fascinating one. You got to extend him in order to keep him. Right? Would you trade Dak? I don't even know what the cap ramifications of that would be.
I mean, but that's not going to happen.
I don't think so either. And CeeDee Lamb's not going anywhere either. So,
and just to put things into perspective, you know, people jumped on the Terrence Parsons tweet, which is Micah's brother. But I did a deep dive into his Twitter.
Okay.
Just to you know, kind of make sense of it. That's just a common case that someone took one tweet out of like 20.
Okay.
And put the spotlight on it, because what he had been saying up to that point was positive stuff about Dak, but he did say, look, you know, you have to take a team-friendly deal so the team can get better. So I don't necessarily look at that as him trash-talking Dak. I feel as a fan, a lot of us feel that same way, too.
Plus, this is also in the first blush of losing to the Packers.
Yeah, and he's come back, and he's...
Okay.
I get, but the CD's mom thing is one, because if you're Tad Prescott and you're Dak's brother, and you see all the trash that constantly gets talked about Dak, some from Cowboys fans, the majority of it from not Cowboys fans, you probably wouldn't want your brother to be in that position.
Oh, of course not. You know, and
so you would probably want him to go somewhere where he wouldn't have to deal with that.
We'll ask Andrew Whitworth about all this in hour number three. Won't we? That's coming up. I mean, and
this is my perspective.
All right, looking at Dak's Spotrac page, a post June 1st trade would actually save the Cowboys $34 million on the cap.
But the issue would be you'd have to make that deal before the new league year, before everybody makes their plans at quarterback,
right? And then have it as a post June,
which is the problem is that no one would do that, because you got to get the quarterback in the building immediately.
So it doesn't make any sense.
But this is Mike McCarthy's problem now, and he's got to handle it. And I'm sure it's been out there in the locker room already, right? As you know, as I say all the time here,
everybody sees this stuff. There's
an iceberg, and we only see the tip. You know, but this is Mike McCarthy. You got to get maybe these two guys, CeeDee and Dak, in a room.
But again, it's
you got
someone's mom saying something. I mean, CeeDee had his best season, one of the best seasons in the history statistically in football with who? Dak Prescott.
And he could be offensive player of the year.
That's outside chatter. Remember Trayvon Diggs was saying that his brother should.
Yeah, but what we always ascribe, like, you got to get that from somewhere.
Well,
you know?
I think we maybe should stop ascribing and realize that people just have their own mindset.
I don't know.
I'm
just glad my mom didn't have a Twitter account when Pat McAfee said what he said on the air about ESPN.
Could you imagine some of the great tweets that would have happened over the years?
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I'm obsessed with the fact that GQ has named Kim Kardashian Man of the Year. You're upset about it? I suggest you do better then.
If there were a Cosmo Woman of the Year and it was a man, how would you feel?
Well, that would just be lies. Name a man who's doing better than women right now and you can give him Woman of the Year. But until I see that...
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.